I would try, I want to try to come to the conclusion of Shlomo HaMelech, the reign of Shlomo HaMelech. It really ends in chapter 11. Very auspicious chapter for the end of his reign. Trust me, chapters 9 and 10, and you can read over those chapters. Chapters 9 and 10 describe the wealth, the wisdom, the well-being of the Jewish people during the days of Shlomo HaMelech. Yes, that was for homework. It was all the, I would even say, the opulence, the peace, the extent of Shlomo HaMelech's empire, influence, the absolute greatness and majesty of those 40 years that he was king are described in chapters 9 and 10. 8, 9, 10. It's chapter 11. And remember, there was also a description if you did your homework, and you can. This is the kind of homework that you can even do it after the due date. You can do it after today. You can go over the homework. There's a description of the throne. A description of the throne upon which he sat. Something that was beautiful and powerful. A description even of the weapons. There were weapons that he made out of pure gold. I imagine more for show than for to be used on the field of battle. But there was a... That's the description of that appears in those two chapters. And there are parts of those two chapters that we already learned earlier. We learned earlier in the year of the visit of the Queen of Sheba to find out the great wisdom of Shlomo HaMelech. For that matter, we said she might not have been a queen. It might have been the King of Sheba. But all right. Chapter 11 is what I want to look at. In chapter 11, you're just going to...
Excuse me, I have a curious question for those of you who have an English translation.
Yes?
What's the first word in chapter 11 in English?
Now God.
Now King.
Now.
Right. Now. You have but.
It isn't in the Hebrew text. Neither now or but.
I don't have that in mind.
What do you say? What does it say? V'hamelech?
It says V'hamelech. King Solomon.
So your translation is simply not translating the Vav.
Mm-hmm. Now mine it says but, and you have to
yours says but, and yours says
but. You have to understand now. That there's now. A reason I ask you. See, this particular passage
yeah.
I got free from the Society for the Study of Hebrew Scripture in England.
So I'll
and
tell you.
Start with but, that's political, right?
The fact is that a vav at the beginning of a chapter always presents some kind of a difficulty. Not everybody is in agreement what the vav means. Mm-hmm. But that the vav is there, that's for sure. The vav seems to be sort of that which... A continuation of the story.
Bridge.
So therefore, the bridge, yes, between chapter before and... new chapter, and in the Das Mikra Chumash Tanakh, wherever they come to that Vav, they say like Inyan Chadash. The Vav represents the beginning of the new Inyan, or and so it. But to leave it out completely, as though it doesn't exist.
That's why I was curious about how it was presented.
The Hamelach Shlomo, because he saw the throne of God. Yeshayahu saw the throne of God. Chapter 6. All right. I have to learn the difficult pasuk, so I'm going to learn it.
Why can't it be translated and?
Yeah, I don't know why it can't be translated and.
Because his wealth obviously
corrupted. Yeah, yeah. Slow. Let's not go that fast. By the way, in the description in the chapters before of his wealth, there are a number of things that are pointed out quite specifically. Gold, silver, silver in the days of Shlomo lo nechshav b'uma. It didn't count. Silver simply had no value. There was so much wealth in Yerushalayim. There was so much wealth. It was the metropolis of the world. Great leaders from all over the world came to Yerushalayim. Can you imagine the traffic jams? Chariots had to wait at street corners as other chariots went by. It was a difficult time in the days of Shlomo HaMelech. So it points out gold, silver, horses. In other words, up until the pasuk we're going to learn now, this is what's important. Up until the pasuk we're going to learn now, not a word of criticism of Shlomo. Everything has been described in an extremely positive way. He's powerful, he's mighty, he is wise, he is wealthy. All of this is described. The only thing that one may pick up as they read it is somebody who's going to remember the parasha in Torah. In Torah there are a number of specific mitzvahs for the king. Lo yarbe lo noshim, he shouldn't have many wives, and they had a description of the number of wives that he had. That was also there. It's just stated as a fact. As a fact. Earlier, Chumash, it's in Parsha Shoftim. In Parsha Shoftim, you have Parshat HaMelech, the Parsha of the King. And it says over there, when you will come to Eretz Yisrael, and you're going to say, V'amartan, you will say, Asima alai melech kechol hagoyim, I want a king like all nations of the world. So the Torah says, Som tosim alecha melech, place upon yourself a king. And there are a number of halachas that are specific to the king. First of all, he has to write for him a Sefer Torah. Even if his father left him a Sefer Torah, and he has who knows how many Sefer Torah, there is one that he has to write for himself that he takes with him wherever he goes. The halach, in fact, says that there were two Sifrei Torah that the king had. There was one Sefer Torah at home, and there was one that he would carry with him wherever he went. In other words, symbolically, what this tells the king is, both in his relationships with the world out there and his relationships at home, the guide is Torah. And then there are a number of no's. Lo yarbelo noshim, he shouldn't have many wives. Lo yarbelo kesef, his zohav, gold and silver, he should not multiply. And lo yarbelo susim, he shouldn't have horses, lest he bring the people back to Egypt, because from Egypt they purchased horses. Now, all of these things have been described in the chapters before. The wives, the gold, the silver, the horses. But it's description. It is not said in any kind of passing judgment or criticism or critique of his conduct. The first time that we come to something that is clear and straight and to the point is right here. V'hamelech Shlomo ohav noshim nochriyot. Now the pasuk is going to say it in a way that is going to shake you to the core. So first, okay, you know, you absorb the first blow, and then we're going to have to take a second look. Oh, so therefore the but...
Because it's the Christian...
The Christian translation says, but.
Mine isn't Christian.
And yours says, but? All right. Now.
But what is the Christian?
But.
But.
He did all these one because the first, two previous chapters are admiring.
Yes, so I'm saying that the two previous chapters, while they are listing all of the great accomplishments of Shlomo, anybody who has in mind the parsha of the Torah, as you read it, so even though it is written in a way that is non-judgmental, you have to begin to feel that something somewhere is going wrong. A description of 40,000 stables of horses. So So it, something has to click over here. Wait a minute. A description of 700 concubines and 300 wives, a total of 1,000. The fact that, gold and silver has no value in his day. So while it's not written in a judgmental way, the fact that we know the parasha of the Torah, we certainly have questions. Something is going seriously wrong here.
Nowhere does it say where this wealth came from. Was it gifts? Because of great prosperity in the
there was great prosperity.
Or was there heavy taxes?
Oh, it's also there were taxes. But there was prosperity. Ish tachat gafno v'tachat teinatot. That description is written here about the days of Shlomo. It means that there was well-being throughout the country. And because... I'll say it. You know, Shlomo HaMelech... peacetime brings prosperity. It was Shlomo HaMelech's New Middle East. There was a great deal of there was peace from all the nations all around. So the fact is, yes, it's true. The vision of people traveling from Syria to Eretz Yisrael and from Egypt to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael then was really the focus of a whole world. Everybody made their way through Eretz Yisrael, so there was a tremendous amount of, I don't know, I imagine there was tourism. I imagine there was a tremendous amount of business that was being done. There was no boycott of Eretz Yisrael. So being in the center of the world, when there's prosperity, there was a lot of business. It even described a fleet, a merchant fleet that Shlomo HaMelech had at Eilat. Really, it was at Aqaba, not far from Sharm HaSheikh. He had a major fleet. And his fleet was bringing goods all over the world. It was a time of peace and prosperity. That's really what it was. Yes.
Why wasn't there anything around to, like all the other things or all the other judges?
Oh, so wait.
Also, supposedly the whole point of it was to bring the goyim to the recognition of God. And there's no.
And incidentally, the point that you make now is an extremely important one. That's going to be an important one in our understanding of what's happening. Shlomo HaMelech, and this is one of the underlying themes that is going to explain this chapter. Shlomo HaMelech entered into relationships. And I use the word relationships here in its broadest sense, with many countries and with many nations. And the purpose of these relationships was, he was the first great machazir b'tshuva. He wanted to bring the message of Klal Yisrael to the world out there. Shlomo HaMelech may have made a mistake. The mistake may have been that it was too early. The time was not yet ripe. But he thought that with the influence of Eretz Yisrael and his government, and his wisdom, and in fact he was the wisest of all men, God gave him wisdom, his liaisons with the women that we're going to describe now were all done with one point in mind, and that was to cement relationships with the world out there, and in some way therefore, I know what it sounds too much like what somebody has a vision of right now. But there's a big difference. He really saw this as a way, and he was also strengthening the security of Klal Yisrael by virtue of the fact that he entered into extremely important relationships with Egypt. Egypt was the most important one, Bat Paro. But what he didn't realize, and not that I would have realized it at the time, don't get me wrong, what I'm saying, from the Tanakh we see that really Mitzrayim, Egypt was then in the process of going downhill. It was not yet easily perceived by the man in the street, but it was already the period of the decline. Mitzrayim Paro had peaked and was declining, and the new power that was beginning to rise is going to be Aram, which will be Syria, Ashur, but first it's Aram, and then it's going to become Ashur, then ultimately it's going to become Bavel, Paras, Madai. There is a shift in the balance of power in the Middle East. His strongest relationship was with Paro Melech Mitzrayim, but there's no way for him to know that Paro Melech Mitzrayim is going to be a has-been. Yes? I don't like the word Ahav.
Ahav,
okay.
It should have said he married these women, and then Chazal would say it's because he wanted to strengthen alliances, whatever. But the Rambam said often in Tanakh, in terms of even with David HaMelech, when he married the women that he did.
Okay, so give me a chance to learn a few psukim. It's you're right. It's a difficult word. That's a good kash. He loved many foreign women and the daughter of Paro. She is singled out because the relationship with her was, in fact, singular and different than all of the others. It is for her that he builds a special palace all of her own. And then who are these women? Moaviot, Ammoniot, Adomiot, Sidoniot, Chitiot. Min Hagoyim, from those nations, Asher Amar Hashem al Bnei Yisrael, that God had said to the children of Israel, Lo Tavo'u Behem, you shall not come amongst them, Behem Lo Yavo'u Behem, and they shall not come amongst you. From those nations, amongst those nations, you have Ammon and Moab, where it says, you shall not have a relationship with them, even though from the halachic point of view, you cannot marry an Ammoni or a Moabi, but you could marry an Ammonit or a Moabit. But watch the pasuk. First, so let me give you the full blast, and then we'll have to talk about it. We'll have to face it. That's what we have to do. Achen yatu et levavchem acharei eloheim, because indeed they will incline and bend your heart after their gods. Bohem davak Shlomo la'ahava. Now you see how it is repeated again, and what is the word that's being used? Two words are being used over here. Davak and Ahava. Davak, like, is, I have a feeling that Davak is even a stronger. Al Chen Yazo Vish es Aviv's Imo Vidavak Bishto. The Davak Bishto. By Yilo Noshim Sarota, here it is, I say, and I keep learning, I forget where things are. By Yilo Noshim Sarot Shramiot. 700 women, wives who are Sarot, what was your, all of you, what's your English? No, the first one, Sarot.
Princesses.
And Pilakshim, concubines, Ashlosh Beot, 300. Vayatu Nosha Vetlipo. The statement, the fact is simply, the women inclined and bent his heart in the wrong way.
That's scary, because not they turned his head, they turned his heart.
All right, good. Yes?
That's here, royal wives.
Yes, royal wives. All right, so that's, what did you have? Princesses. And those
were with the ketubah.
The ketubah, that's right. The difference between an isha and a pilegesh is, an isha is with ksuba and kedushin, and pilegesh is without ksuba. There was such an institution in Jewish law. By Yehila Eid Ziknat Shlomo, and it came to the, toward the old age of Shlomo. This also has to be understood. He died at age 52. So when we talk about his old age, it's not such old age.
So many wives.
That's exactly what they meant. But remember, they do use the word Ziknat Shlomo. Watch. By Yehilei Ziknat Shlomo Nashov Hitu Et Luvavo, his wives inclined his heart after other gods, and his heart was not complete with God his God like the heart of his father David. In this pasuk, while on the one hand we have the worst indictment of Shlomo, we also have the balance is being struck. It says that his heart went toward other gods. What does it mean? I mean, are we talking First of all, we're left with the impression as we read the text that he marries all of these women whom he is prohibited from marrying. Women whom the Torah says, they shall not come in you, and you shall not come in them. So what's he being? He's being accused, number one, of illicit, illegal, non-halachic, anti-halachic marriages. Not only that, he is also being accused of having become, to some effect, in some way, he's become an idolater. But remember, I always tell you we have to look at the text, because the text always gives you a hint. Text always gives you a hint. Listen, if we're talking about a man who has engaged in hundreds, if not a thousand, illicit marriages, and a person who is an idolater, how could the pasuk over here at the end say that his heart was not as complete with God as the heart of his father David? Do you hear what that sentence is saying? How could you write a sentence like that? He wasn't as charedi as David, and said he wasn't as frum. Shlomo's okay, he's a good Jew, but his heart is just not as frum as his father David.
And his father was no David.
His father was a big tzaddik. His father was a big tzaddik. What she needs to get is the tapes, 10 tapes on David and Bathsheba. That's what you need. Now,
he also was punished for what he did.
Yeah, the question is what he did. And that, you know what? You will understand David better after we explain Shlomo. But now, do you see the incongruity of the pasuk? First, his...
Huh? It doesn't say chatzah. It just says what he did, and then it says his heart was not his soul. So, right. But it never says chatzah.
All right, okay, fine, that's good. Never says chet. Which by David it did say, he did say, Chatasi, I sinned. Good. But you understand, the pasuk is saying his heart was not as complete with God as the heart of his father, David. Vayela Shlomo, now listen to the pasuk again, another pasuk. Vayela Shlomo, acharei Ashtoret, Elohei Tzidonim, and Shlomo went after Ashtoret, who was the deity of the Tzidonim, the acharei Milkom, who was Shikutz Ammonim, the abomination of the Ammonim. Here is such a serious, the most serious condemnation of all. Vayas Shlomo harabi eini Hashem. Shlomo did that which was evil in the eyes of God. Velo milei acharei Hashem kedavid ovid. So here you have again a pasuk that the first part of the pasuk and the second part of the pasuk seem not to be in sync with one another. He did evil in the eyes of God, and he did not follow fully after God like his father David. What do you mean he didn't follow like his father David? This man is a terrible, terrible sinner. An idolater, a man who has made an establishment of intermarriage, assimilation. It's terrible. It's terrible. So listen, let's get it all out. Oz Yivne Shlomo Boma L'kemosh Shikutz Mav. Then Shlomo built an altar, a high place, for Kemosh, who is the abomination of Moav. Bohor Asher Al Pnei Yerushalayim. We understand. He builds a Mormon college, you understand, on the mountain that is facing Yerushalayim. An altar to Kemosh Shikutz Mav. Ulemolech Shikutz Bnei Amon, and to Molech, which is the abomination, the ugliness of Bnei Amon. V'chein also l'chol nashav ha'nachriyot. This is what he did for all of his wives who are foreigners, strange. Shiksis. Maktidot u'mizabchot l'lehein. Now here it really means that they brought incense and they brought sacrifices to their gods. Vayit anaf Hashem b'shlomo. And God was angry with Shlomo. The use of the word Vayit Anaf is a very fascinating word. There are a lot of other words that mean anger. Kas, Charon Af, Vayichar Af Hashem bi Shlomo, Vayichtsof. No. The word is used in Torah by Moshe and Aaron because of the sin of the waters of the Meimarida. So someplace in Dvarim over at Hanan, Moshe Rabbeinu says, God got angry with Aaron, the Gambi hit Anat Hashem, God got angry with me too. Very interesting that word is used and not other words.
It translates for us common slang more like slapped down.
Mm. No. What do your English say? No, no.
Was angry.
Was angry. Because in English there is no other word.
It means severe anger. The most severe anger.
I quote somebody who says that because I'm not ready to agree with it.
Says there by Malvin. Yes,
Malvin
work on
which
most near the
beast. Not ready. Against
the
All right, let's.
And it says this anger marks the termination of the Davidic dynasty.
That's going too far, also. That's not correct. Let's see. Vayitanaf Hashem b'Shlomo, and God was angry with Shlomo, ki notol levavo miyim Hashem elokei Yisrael, because his heart turned from God, the God of Israel, hanira'ah elav pa'amayim, who had appeared to him twice. Now if I were going to be writing this pasuk, and after all of the accusations that have been hurled at him, I don't think I would have simply written that God is angry with him because his heart had turned away. I mean, we're talking about somebody who was accused of illicit relationships, worshipping idols, permitting the construction of an altar in Yerushalayim. Let's not forget a point that we've made on a number of occasions. In Pasuk 6 it had said, Vayav Shlomo hara be'enei Hashem. Shlomo did evil in the eyes of God. Whenever it says in the eyes of God, we have to sit up and take notice. I mean, evil is evil. There is evil that is apparent to men as well. If he did all of these things, it would be apparent to all of us and anybody who was present at the time that he did evil. It should have said he did evil, period. Or he did evil in the eyes of Israel and in the eyes of God. The moment it says, Vayaz hara be'enei Hashem, he did that which was evil in the eyes of God, it means that he's not doing something that is so apparent to everybody. If he's building all sorts of altars to idols all around Yerushalayim, and if he has engaged in all sorts of terrible illicit relationships, and his heart has turned away from God, he is described here like an idolater, an adulterer, a builder of altars. I mean, this is terrible. But remember, it only says by Yahshua, he did that was evil in the eyes of God. Let's go to Pasuk 10. Vitzivo elav al adavar hazeh levilti lechet acharei Elohim acherim. And God had commanded him when he spoke to him. God had commanded him he should not go after other gods. V'lo shamar et asher tzivah Hashem. He did not keep that which God had commanded him. Therefore, the response. In other words, here we've had 10 psukim of a condemnation, an all-out condemnation of Shlomo HaMelech. Now remember, can't forget, just to keep, we always have to keep balancing things. He is the one of the few people in all of Tanakh whom God gives him a name. Did you hear the sentence I said? I said he is one of the few people in Tanakh, because I knew you'd jump over here at me. He is one of the few people in Tanakh, but now I'm going to go a step further. Of course there are others. How many others? So there's Taked Yitzchak, and Avraham becomes Avraham, and Sarai becomes Sarah, and Yaakov becomes Yisrael. So that's why I said one of the few. You have to listen to me like you would be learning a Rambam. I take it back, I didn't mean that seriously. But what does he call him? He doesn't call him Avraham, Yitzchak, or Yisrael. He calls him Yedidya. Yedidya is the name of that God gives him. That goes back in Shmuel Bet. You understand? Yedidah, the beloved one of God. God loves Shlomo at birth. What are we to say? Are we to say that God simply bet on the wrong horse? He made a terrible mistake. He thought that Shlomo was going to be better, and never. Shlomo's a rough effect. Is this the way we're to understand the Shlomo HaMelech of Mishlei and Shir HaShirim and Koheles? If all of this would be true, those Svarim would never have become part of the Tanakh. What are you talking about? We would have demonstrated outside the offices. The women in black would have stood out in front of the offices of the Anshei Knesset Agdolah and said, what are you talking about? You're going to make those Svarim written by him as Sifrei HaKodesh. And of course anybody who reads the Svarim sees what it's all about.
Vayomer Hashem l'Shlomo. God said to Shlomo, Yan Asher Chalitah Zot Imach. God does send a message through a prophet. Yan, you asked, where's the prophet? Here's the prophet. There's no name. Some of the Mefarshim say it is a prophet who's going to appear later on in this chapter. Achia Hashiloni means Achia from Shiloh. He is the one who is going to appear to Yerubbaal and Nebat. The kingdom is going to be split in this chapter. Yomer Hashem l'Shlomo, God said to Shlomo, Yom Asher haitazot imuch, because this was with you, this is the way you conducted yourself. V'lo shamarta b'riti v'chukotai, you didn't keep my covenant and my statutes. Asher tziviti alecha, that I commanded you. And you see what he... I believe here is another word that is a... That is a key word or a clue word. Asher tziviti alecha. It seems that Shlomo did not keep those mitzvahs that were specifically for him. If we're talking about illicit marriages, and if we're talking about idolatry, pagan and heathen practices in and around Yerushalayim, that's not a halacha that is specifically addressed to the king. That's a halacha for everybody. But what does the Navi tell him in the name of God? Since you did not keep the mitzvahs that I commanded you, what are the unique mitzvahs of a melech that we said earlier? Not to amass wives, gold, silver, and horses. I separated between wives and horses with gold and silver in the middle. Right? Can't amass them. Those are the specific mitzvahs that a melech is commanded. And that's what God's saying. You didn't keep the mitzvahs that I commanded you. Koroa ekratam amlacham yalecha. I'm going to tear away the kingdom from you. Unetatiha. And I'm going to give the kingdom la'avdecha to your servant. You've always asked that. Why the double Koroa ekra? And you know what I did after you asked it once in class about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago? I went home and I went looking through the Mefarshim. And I think someplace, and I don't remember it now, there was a Ksava HaKabbalah that explains this. In other words, it usually represents something that is ongoing. Koroa is not really a verb. The verb is ekra, I will tear. Koroa is a root word, which means that it is something that will last for a long time. I don't forget questions that you asked me, but I'm going to have to take a... I think you asked it by pakod, yifkod, Hashem elokim etchem, etc. Yeah, emphasis, but I think it's more than emphasis. It's more than emphasis. Yes? If he's angry with Shlomo, why does he punish the son? It's not really... Remember, God doesn't... He doesn't owe anything to the son.
Well, who says that the son has to be the king of all of Israel? He doesn't owe anything to the son. Whatever he will give to the son, he will give to the son.
But when we took a king, we took all the treasure.
Ah, so therefore, there will continue to be kings. They will all continue to be kings. But yeah, in other words, I know what you're asking. You blow up the home of the family of the Mitabeit, so what, the family of the Mitabeit, where they were guilty. That's the big debate that's raging amongst our thinkers today.
All right,
but over here, what are they simply? No. It's not a tour bus. It's a bus of reinforcements to make Clinton feel safer in if he comes to Yerushalayim. Alright, watch. I will not do it in your days, Leman David Avicha, for the sake of your father David, Miyad Bincha Ekra Ena, from the hand of your son I will tear it away. Raket Kol Hamamlacha Lo Ekra, I am not going to tear away the entire kingdom. Shevet Echad Etain Levenecha, one tribe I will give to your son, Leman David Avdi, for the sake of my servant David, Uleman Yerushalayim Asher Bachati, and for the sake of Yerushalayim that I chose. So, I think we'll start. Yes, so Yehuda is being given one Shevet. Yehuda is being given one Shevet, so it's going to be Yehuda and Binyam. Here is a Rambam. I want to read with you a Rambam so that we can set the stage for an explanation of what's going on over there. Terrible combination. And it's a Rambam that begins in such a way that it could have been written today. The Rambam begins with the words that I sort of don't like anymore. Al ya'ale al dacha.
Oh, I can't stand it either.
Love ya'aleh al-adat, in other words. Anything, love ya'aleh al-adat, lechalek Yerushalayim. Love ya'aleh al-adat. Okay. Al ya'aleh al-adat, says the Rambam.
Where is it?
This is in Hilchot Isurei Bi'ah, in the Laws of Prohibited Relationships, chapter 13, halacha 14. Al yala al dachot should not occur to you for a moment. She Shimshon hamoshia et Yisrael. Shimshon, who saved the Jewish people. O Shlomo melech Yisrael. O Shlomo, the king of Israel. She nikra, who was called Yedid Hashem, the beloved one of God. Nosu noshim nachriyot begeyutan. It shall not occur to you that they married foreign women while they were still shiksas. Forget it. Forget it. Which means the Rambam now is going to tell us the halacha, which means already that we're going to have to take three or four of the psukim that have told us shiksis, ammoniot and moaviot and tzidoniot and chitiot, those that God had said, lo yavou behen behen lo yavou becha, al yaleh al adat, that Shimshon married shiksis or Shlomo HaMelech married shiksis. Ela sod hadavar kahu, the secret, and this is a word that is so rarely, if ever, used by the Rambam in his codifying of laws. I'm reading from the Yad HaChazak. Sod hadavar, the secret of the matter is. At the moment, of course, that you're going to hear the secret of the matter, it means we're going to have to reassess completely everything that has been said over here, and we're going to have to look at it in a different light. Ela sod hadavar kahu, the secret of the matter is this. Shamitzvah hanechona, the correct mitzvah is the following. Kishiyavo hagir or hagiyoret lehitgayer, when male or female come to convert, bodkin acharav, we have to investigate shema biglal mamon shiito, there's another word that I wanted to use. In other words, there may be other reasons?
Extenuating.
No, better word. Better word. We're losing my English. All right. It'll come. Maybe it's because of money that they're going to get. Or maybe because of a position of importance that one is going to receive.
or because of fear, he comes to join the Jewish people. Where do we have that? In the Megillah, V'rabim me'amei ha'aretz mityahadim kinofal pachad Mordechai ha'yehudi aleihem. Many people began to convert because they were frightened of Mordechai. So that there can be... I can't get the word out of my mouth. Ulterior motives. That's it. The motives may be money, they may be power, or they may be fear. The issue, and if it's a man, both kinachrav, a man, there may be another reason. Maybe he has fallen in love with a Jewish woman, and that's why he wants to convert. V'in ishahi, and if she is a woman, Bolkin Shema Eineha Natna V'Bachur MiBachurei Yisrael. Maybe she has fallen in love with a young man of the men of Israel. In lo nimtza lehem ila, if we don't find any ila, and ila means a motive, some kind of a motive. If we don't find that, modin otam, then you're supposed to tell the prospective convert. Koved all haTorah, how heavy the yoke of Torah is. V'torach sheyesh basiyata, and the trouble and the difficulty that's involved in performing the mitzvahs of Torah. Al amei harotzos, how difficult it is for people to carry the burden of Torah. Kedei sheyifroshu, the purpose of telling them this is in order that they should change their minds and decide not to convert. In kiblu, but if they accepted all of this upon themselves, v'lo farshu, and they didn't separate themselves, v'ro otam shechazru mei ahava, and the Beis Din sees that they are returning mei ahava, from love. What's fascinating about the Rambam, a number of places when he talks about conversion to Judaism, he uses the term chazru. Isn't that an interesting term to use? We can, as if they left. In other words, you can use the word, we understand a chozer v'tshuva, a Jew who has gone astray, and now he comes back. The Rambam sees even the goy who comes to God, it's really a return. And I would say most probably because on the basis of an idea that is expressed number of places by the Meshech Chachmah Rabbi Yisrael, that man is born with an innate and intuitive knowledge that there is a God, a one invisible God. And the Meshech Chachmah says it's as axiomatic to the neshama as 2 plus 2 equals 4, or that the whole is larger than any of its parts. He says there are certain axioms, there are certain things that are part of the human makeup, because God would not have created human beings without that kind of a feeling. How is man supposed to find God otherwise? And what is man supposed to flounder? And if man moves off in other directions, it's because of heredity, environment, education, desires, lusts, passions. So even for the guy, his coming to Yiddishkeit is chazru, he returns me'ava. If that's what the Beis Din determines, mekablim otam, you receive them. Shenema, as it says, and he brings the pasuk from Sefer Rut, vateira, and Naomi saw ki mitametzet hilalechet ita, that Rut is intent on going with her, and she stopped talking to her. She tried, because what really happens on the road over there, as Naomi is talking to Ruth and she tells her, go back, your sister-in-law has gone back, go back to your father's house, to the house of your parents, why are you going to come with me, even if I were to become pregnant tonight and have a child, do you think, are you going to wait for that child? Go back. She tries to talk her out of it. And then Ruth, of course, is considered the great Geyoreh from whom we learn the laws of Geyoreh. Where you go, I will go. Where you will sleep, I will sleep. Your God is my God. Your people, my people. She accepts upon everything. And once Naomi sees that she is absolutely resolute, she stops trying to talk about it. Leficha, next halacha.
The Ran says the Fichachlo Kiblu Bedin Gedim Kol Yimei David Ushlomo. That's why Bedin did not accept converts in the days of David and Ushlomo. Bimei David, the reason why they didn't accept converts in the day of David, Shemu Min HaPachat Chazaru. They may have become converts because of fear. Gedim in the days of David, the reason for one to convert was because of fear, and be made Shlomo, Shema, in the days of Shlomo, you know why people wanted to convert to Judaism? Bishvil HaMalchus, because of the pomp and circumstance of royalty, the power of royalty, V'HaTova, the good, V'HaGedula, Shehoyu Bo Yisrael, Chazaru. That's why they want to return, because of the greatness of Israel. They want to get on the bandwagon. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to be a Jew. Shekol ha-chozer, in Britain, Maldech Rambam uses the word. Shekol ha-chozer min ha-goyim, whoever returns from the nations of the world, b'shvul dover may have lei ha-olam, because any of the nonsense of the world, eino min gedei ha-tzedek, that's not a righteous gear. And in the days of David, there was fear. In the days of Shlomo, people wanted to be part of this greatness.
If they don't tell me
when Mashiach comes, there's no more Gedim. Of course, we'll see. And despite the fact that Bezin did not receive Gedim, for you Gedim harbe misguided be made David and Shlomo b'fnei hejotos. There were many people who converted in the days of David and Shlomo before a bedin of hediotot commoners. Didn't go to the Rabbanut. But before a bezdin of a bedin made up of three laymen, that's the correct word. V'hoyu bedin hagadol choshishin lahem. So of course the shayla came before the rabbanut. What are we going to do? Fact is, three Jews were sitting there, and they accepted this man, and a man went to the mikveh, underwent the milah. So in other words, he's gone through circumcision, he's gone through immersion. These are the two requirements. Of course, there's a third requirement. The third requirement, which is, of course, the point that all of the debate that goes on in the world today, and so much is going on about this in the Jewish world, is you need kapalat ha-mitzvot, accepting the yoke of mitzvot, kapalat ol mitzvot. And then, mila and tvila. The question is, what's the definition of kapalat ol mitzvot? If somebody is going to accept the ol mitzvot of the reform movement, that's not ol mitzvot. So here we're talking about people who did convert. They went through the process of conversion. So now the shayla comes before the bedin hakadol. What are they going to do? Says the Rambam, v'yu bedin hakadol choshishin lahem. Bedin HaGadol, they were concerned about them, that maybe they are real gated. Lo dochin otam, they would not reject them. Achashe tovlo mikol makom. Once they had gone through the process, Bezdin did not reject them. Velo mikarvin otam, but Bedin did not bring them close. Achashe teira'e acharitam, until we see what their end will be. Are they really going to be Jews or not? What will the end be? The end is going to testify their testimony whether it was good or not. Now, in the event, it would seem that in the event that they would turn out correct, good Gaiden at the end, question is, would they have to go through the process again? Would they have to come before a bet did again? Rambam doesn't say. Okay. Let's go another two halachot. Ulefi shegier Shlomo nashim unesa'an v'chein shimshon gier v'nasa, and because Shlomo HaMelech converted these women and married them, and Shimshon converted them and married them. And it's known that these women they converted for ulterior motives and not according to Bet Din Girum. It was not that Bet Din were the ones who converted them. Chashavon Hakosov, the pasuk describes them ke'ilu hein goyot, as though they are shiksus, ubiyisuron omdin, and they are still usher. But halachically and technically, they were not usher.
But they didn't accept the Yom
Mitzvah. But the Rambam didn't say that. The Rambam said that anybody who converted in the days of David and Shlomo, Bedin Choshishin Lehen, Bedin did not reject them, but, in other words, which means that it's possible that halachically, whether we like it or not, they are converts.
But don't they have to accept the Yom Mitzvot?
They said that.
All of them
said that they're accepting the Yom Mitzvot. The question is whether they meant it. Of course they're accepting the Yom. They say it. But the saying it... Listen, there is no such thing as coming before a Bet Din, even a Bet Din of HaGerotot, and being converted without saying, I solemnly swear to accept upon myself the mitzvot of Torah. That happened. The question is, do they mean it? What was the halacha? The halacha was saying that you have to investigate. You have to check it out. Do they mean it or don't they mean it? So that means like this. These women were sort of in a state of limbo. One could not say that they are not converted because they did indeed go through conversion. For old Rambam says, Shaluchiyak Sofon al Tchilosan. What happened to them at the end was retroactively an indication that their conversion, they didn't mean it. But it still does not change the fact that they had gone through the process of conversion. The end came to prove the beginning. That they worshipped their idolatries, and they built for themselves altars. The Hello all of Akasiv, listen to what the Ram says, now listen very carefully. The Hello all of Akasiv, the Pasuk considered it about him, Ki ilu hu binon, as though he built them, Shenema, as it says, Oz Yivne Shlomo, then Shlomo built Burma. That was the Pasuk that we learned, Pasuk 7. So what the Rambam is now interjecting when it says, Oz Yivne Shlomo, then Shlomo built a Mizbeach to this idolatry and a Mizbeach to that idolatry. Shlomo never built any altars. Never built any altars. Who built the altars? Some of his wives built altars. But there is such a thing, and it's a word that's a term that's being used now. There is achrayut ministerialit. I got the word out. There is ministerial responsibility. The fact is that the pasuk considers it as though he did it, but he never did it.
But they couldn't have done it.
Ah! So the Gemara, so now I'm going to have to bring you to the next Gemara. Gemara Masechta Shabbos says, Kol ha'omer Shlomo chata. Listen to this. Anybody who starts up with me may have to write this 500 times. Kol ha'omer, whoever says Shlomo chata, anybody who says that Shlomo sinned, eino ela toa, is only making a mistake. Do you understand what the Gemara is saying? Just let it settle in. We've learned here through 13, 14 psukim that accuse him of all terrible things. And the Gemara comes along and tells us, Kol ha'omer, whoever says, Shlomo chata, Shlomo sin, eino elato, is making a mistake. So why is he being condemned? Says the Gemara, you know why he's being condemned? Shalom micha. He didn't object strongly enough. He didn't stand up and say, he didn't use the power that he had in order to stop them. He didn't use the power that he had. And for not having objected, for not having spoken up forcefully enough, I'm sure that he must have spoken up, but because he didn't speak up forcefully enough, so therefore the Torah, the Navi, condemns him. It's as though he did it. You know the extent to which they turned his heart? They turned his heart that he didn't object sufficiently. He never worshipped idolatry, he never married a shiksa, he never built an altar. You know, once we learn the Rambam, it means we have to relearn the psukim.
And I always say, whenever we come to a parasha like this, as we said it by David, the beauty of Tanakh, the greatest king, the Navi will still condemn him in a way unparalleled, even though it's not so, as a means of teaching the Jewish people. Now, the truth is that you couldn't really technically and halachically say all of these psukim that we have we've read here. Yes?
That's the case. Why didn't Shlomo say, like,
that he
would have some kind of word here that he didn't?
All right, let's... Wait a minute. Who was it? I think it was Rachel over there that gave a zug over there. She's learning Gemara, most probably Shtika Kahodai. If you remain silent, silence is acquiescence, is a...
Acceptance.
So, all right, but that's, I'm just making that up after the... it's a good kasha. It's a good kasha. The question is, so why doesn't Shlomo HaMelech say Chotasi? Well, the Navi is telling him in the name of God that you haven't fulfilled, you haven't kept my mitzvahs and my chukim. It says it clearly. There are a number of ideas that we're going to have to.
And I don't understand how Shlomo could do this to begin with. He's a great king.
Therefore, the only approach really is that he sees that with all of the power, the wealth, the influence and the wisdom that he sees that all of this has to be used for one purpose. And that one purpose is to send the message of God throughout the world. He may very well decide to overlook certain things as he continues on his mission. We may here be very, very smart after the fact, because we're sitting here and we learned these 10 psukim, so mivaseh shenatz, right? We're the kais l'chachomim. But maybe if we would be living in the time of Shlomo, and Shlomo would be the one, he was the world religious leader in addition to being the fact that he is also the king. And there might be very well indications to us just by being in Yerushalayim and watching all of the people from the whole world who are coming here to learn and to sit at his feet. When it tells us the story of the Queen of Sheba, you think in all the 40 years it was only the Queen of Sheba who came. A whole world came to hear the wisdom of Shlomo HaMelech. To the man in the street, and for that matter to Shlomo, do you know what he sees? He sees before his very eyes a tremendous movement of bringing the knowledge of God. We have to look at these 10 psukim in the context of a total life. He has brought safety. He has brought security. No buses are exploding in the streets of Yerushalayim. And you know what you have? You have a flow of people from all over the world that are sitting by shiurim, are learning Torah, are asking philosophical and theological questions. We're talking about a whole world. You have to get a picture of what's going on here. And therefore, if we would not have these psukim, we would never know that something had gone wrong toward the end of his life. And when it says that something has gone wrong, you know what it means? It means that something has gone wrong for a man on Shlomo HaMelech's level. I wouldn't be a bit surprised. The man in the street wouldn't have noticed a thing. Yes?
The only thing that would support your fear is
to see the letter to the second person. So, Dabar, Hakol Nishma, Et Lukim Yerah, Vet Mitzvotav Chafetz Miyot. And he writes, according to the Medrash, he's right, you're absolutely correct. According to the Medrash, he writes Kohelet at the very end of his life. And he has had tremendous experiences in life. By the way, I'm ready off the top of my hat now to say that Sefer Kohelet is his chatasi. He doesn't say chatasi, he writes a whole sefer. And in that whole sefer, he describes all of the experiences from wealth, opulence, wine, women, song. He describes it all. I experienced it all. And you know what I see at the end? I may have wanted to accomplish too much. Maybe the time was not ripe. I wasn't ready for it. You can't learn, as I said, with regard to David HaMelech, one cannot dare judge David HaMelech until you have learned through all of Tehillim with the Mefarshim. When you take a look at Tehillim and the Mefarshim, you see the deep, enduring piety of the David HaMelech. You're going to go back to those Psukim in Shmuel, and you're going to read them in a completely different way. You're going to go through Mishle, Shirashirashirin Mishle, and Kohelet. You'll learn through those three Svarim, and then you're going to go through these 10 Psukim. Do you know what? You know what's going to be standing out in these 10 Psukim? Not the words of condemnation, but you know what you're going to find? All of those little nuances over there that seem to indicate a completely different picture. He did that which was evil in the eyes of God. It means the man in the street in Yerushalayim didn't see anything wrong.
The man in the street in Yerushalayim didn't know that he was building idols.
So I'm telling you,
there were no writers in those days.
So you know what? I wouldn't be a bit surprised. I wouldn't be a bit surprised that a wife may have made some bummer, in her backyard that nobody knew of, and the only one who knows of it is God. If it says by Yahs Shlomo did evil in the eyes of God, believe me that it's the eyes of God. You wouldn't have seen it. Huh?
Did you compare it to Mehariba, where it says also that they see Moshe was kind of broken arm and punished before? But the two clues I have to compare is the word by Yitanah,
right?
And also by Ya'an. There it says,
yeah, very nice.
Says, yeah,
very nice.
And Moshe and Aaron, they're going to say to God, didn't beg him then to let them go
there.
They waited
until
later.
The word Ya'an and the word Hit'anath, two important words. Same words are used, that student over there says that the same words are used by the Mei Meriva. That Moshe, nobody even knows what the chait was. What did he hit the rock rather than speak to the rock? I mean, in the 613 mitzvahs of Torah, does it say you're not allowed to hit a rock? You have to talk to a rock. So we're talking about an avera that's really an avera only for a Moshe Rabbeinu. What we're saying over here is precisely the same thing. While when you read it, it would seem that this is a condemnation and a rejection of Shlomo that is unparalleled and unmatched. So you have to know the truth. The truth is, in other words, now we're going to have to explain that everything that is described over here, so first of all, we know it's not Shixus, right? We know it's not Shixus. And what about the fact that he has gold and he has silver and he has and he has horses and yet and Lahavul he has wives, all right? What does it mean? So it's clear what the mistake was. It's clear what the mistake was. In all of Torah, the only place where it says the reason for a prohibition is there. It says that he shouldn't have wives so that they should not bend his heart away from God. He should not have horses so that the people should not go back to Egypt. Why these mitzvahs? These are the only ones in Torah. It doesn't say, I have to think of one. It doesn't say, don't eat treif because. Right? It doesn't say because. Over here it says, shouldn't have many wives, he shouldn't have horses. Shouldn't have many wives, so they shouldn't incline his heart. So he said, Shlomo HaMelech said, I will v'lo yatu. He had, if he suffered from anything, he suffered from an exaggerated sense of his own impregnability. You know what it really means? He saw for him that the Torah is giving him a heter. The Torah is saying there's a reason why not to have many wives. There's a reason why not to have
many horses. So he says, listen, I understand the reason. The reason is correct. I will not be affected by it. So he made, so the worst you can say is that the Chacham, he called out him the wisest of all men, he made an honest mistake. But there's a world of difference between that and the accusations over here. Why are the accusations written this way? So this is already part of an ongoing theme that we started in Sefer Yehoshua, and we've been saying it all along. This form of exaggeration in Tanakh is part of the message of Tanakh. Yes? I didn't begin to finish my idea.
What you're saying, I want to compare the part of the word Jews and also the fact that Shlomo is very severe in terms of Shlomo.
I will make that comparison. There are similarities between Shaul losing the kingdom and Shlomo losing the kingdom, and there are differences, significant differences, four or five of them. I'll have to save it for next week. Let me just read quickly, very quickly, through another two halakhot in the Rambam. Ger, Shelo Bot Kuacharov, a convert whom they didn't investigate to find out if there are ulterior motives. O Shaloho di Uhu Hamitzvot Vamanshan, or if the Bedin did not tell them what the mitzvahs are, what their punishment are. Umol the Taval, in other words, the process was a flawed process. But Umol the Taval, he circumcised himself and he went to the mikveh, Bifnei Shlosha Hedyotos, in the presence of three laymen. What happens if that's, those are the circumstances? Says the Rambam, Hadeze Ger. Lahaloche, he's a Ger. Do you hear? And he goes on to say, "Afilu noda shevishvil davar humid gayer." Even if it becomes known that there was an ulterior motive, he had a real motive in being midgayer. Hayulu mol v'taval, since he went through the process of mila and tvila, yotzo miklal hagoyim, he's no longer considered a guy, and therefore all of these women were not considered shiksas. And we look at him as though he's a Jew until it will become clear to us. Now listen to this. It's so terrible. By the way, this is a Rambam that is so important for our times as well. Mamish, extremely important Rambam. Why did I say Mamish? Really, really, a very important Rambam. Now he says, even if this Ger ended up going back and doing and worshipping idols, Hadehu ki Yisrael Mumer, he's considered like a Jew who has sinned. Shekidushav Kedushin. And if he's a Jew, so the halacha is if he's going to marry somebody, his marriage is a legal marriage. Umitzvah lahachzer avedaso, there's a mitzvah to return to him something that he lost. The halacha is there's a mitzvah to return to a Jew something that he lost. This guy who went through a flawed conversion and now has become a guy back all over again, the halacha says you have to return to him something that he loses. He has a halacha of a Jew. Once he went to the mikveh, Nasa ki Yisrael. It's like this is a very, very serious Rambam.
So why are we having a problem with Reform conversion?
And the conservatives, they probably...
I have to give you a whole halachic shiur. Just hold all of your questions in abeyance. I'll find some
way out of it.
It should be very...
No, I mean, of course I'll have a way out. What are you talking about? You think I don't have a way out of it? You see, I'll tell you one of the most important problems. So that at least that'll keep you going till next week. You shouldn't go crazy. The Beis Din has to be a Beis Din of three. It has to be a Beis Din of three males, and it has to be a Beis Din of three males, even if they be laymen. They have to be Shomrei Torah mitzvahs. What happens if one of the three is a Mechal Shabbos? The whole Tevila is nonsense. There you have one of the biggest flaws one of the biggest flaws in all of the Reform conversion.
But what about
meaningless. In Halakha, it's meaningless. Meaningless. Nothing. Wait. Just, Lefichach, therefore, Kimu, Shimshon, and Shlomo, Nishol, Sayin. Therefore, Shimshon and Shlomo kept their wives because Lahalacha, they were King Yisrael. The Avapisha Niklos sold on, even though the secret later they found out. He found out that it wasn't good. But halakhically was okay. So the moment we know that halakhically these are not shiksas, we know already immediately one thing, that the psukim, the 10 psukim of condemnation, cannot be read or understood literally. And anybody who reads them and understands them literally, Eino Elo Toa, is making a terrible mistake. To be completed in Yirtzeh Hashem. Not continued next week, completed in Yirtzeh Hashem. Who drove what?
The text of
Malachim, the Gemara in Bava Basra says, Achi HaShiloni, a number of Nevi'im wrote it. And Yirmiyahu.
I went
Yes.
Of a couple who are not from the shop, away from rabbi converting this child, and they say if I want to know
child is complete Yisrael.
Right. And they said, according to the rabbi, I just learned
participated in those kind of conversions too.
The child is
Yisrael
Gamel.
As long as, and usually serious rabbis who will do that will make some kind of a condition. The parents may be Mechalei Shabbos, but they'll make a condition that the child has to go to day school.
Right, this child goes to Yeshiva.
So that was the condition we always made. And you know what they ended up with, Taka? Many cases where the children are much thrummer than the...
They quoted to me, they said it's from the Rambam.
That this is the Rambam. You got it.
You see? I learned something.
I learned something.